from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week we are going to talk about the power of reflection. And I think that follows on quite nicely from our previous episode, which is all about thinking and being able to think differently. So, Nigel, you've suggested this topic. Why is reflection worthy of our attention?
I think it becomes more important, Martin, when our environment becomes more complex. And I think, to make a statement, our world is becoming more complex. I don't think a lot of people are going to challenge me and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Everything's so much more simple than it was 2 or 3 years ago. And the danger is that we react to complexity either by embracing it and trying to understand what's going on and think differently, or we react to complexity by reducto, by reducing things down to the parameters that we can cope with and understand. Perfectly natural human reaction. But the danger is that when you do that, you end up in a very naive and maybe an almost irrelevant space. And I actually think that learning and development is in a critical position at the moment. That in the face of the complexity, the real fundamental challenges about the purpose of learning and development in organizations, some people have gone for reducto, i.e. let's focus on performance improvement, polishing the silver, making everything a little bit better. That will make us relevant. Whereas other people are maybe looking and saying, surely we should be thinking this through completely differently in the face of this changing environment. And I think that reflection is a very important tool to get you from A to B. So if you're not willing to face the challenge, you just want something nice and simple, reflection doesn't really help. But when you are in difficulty, then you need reflection. That Reg Revens, who invented action learning in the 70s, Reg Revens justified action learning by saying colleagues in difficulty can always help each other sort things out. By asking questions, reflecting on what's going on in a community where there are no right answers and where no one is going to be humiliated for saying anything. So colleagues in adversity, I like that expression. And if ever there were colleagues in adversity, this is the time. So, you know, reflection really, I suppose, dates back to 1970 when Donald Schoen and Chris Argyris began to write about it. Donald Schoen wrote a book called On Reflection. And basically, what Donald Schoen was trying to say is that reflection isn't just one thing where, you know, you sit there, Martin, over breakfast and think big thoughts about what happened yesterday or what's going to happen today. What Schoen said, that there are three kinds of reflection. There is indeed reflection in terms of preparation. There's also reflection in the middle of things, that reflection in action, as well as the retrospective reflection on action. And all of those types of reflection deliver different results and are important in different ways. But I suppose what I would say is that if you are not in the habit of reflecting, it is going to become increasingly difficult for you to make sense of what's going on in the world. And reflection is, ironically in a way, because it's reflection, ironically, but true, that reflecting with other people is very rich. And if you can get a small group of people to think, not about what do we do, not the kind of what went well, what went badly, what do we do differently, that's one kind of, you know, after action review. I mean reflecting on the circumstances, the bigger issues, the level of engagement, what's really going on in this organization, in the world. What do you think's happening in terms of, you know, cloud support? How is that going to change? Imagine in 5 years' time, what do you think could actually happen, or may actually happen, or perhaps remotely has a chance of happening. So it's all of those things make reflection very powerful. And I always keep notes. You know, I don't write a journal because I don't like writing anything anymore. I type things. But I still have notes where I put an idea out in my head and park it somewhere and go look for another idea. And I do my own little bits of research. Did anyone else think this? And often what I find that I think I've just had the most unbelievably brilliant idea, I find out that 20 years ago, about 45 times better stuff was being openly traded and we've forgotten about it. So it my reflection encourages me to seek. And then rather like Harold Jarkey, seek, sense, and share. I try to make sense in a bigger way than I would have done all on my own, just having big thoughts in the corner of the room. And then I try to throw those ideas out to a few people. So you need to build a kind of network of reflexors, I don't know what the word is. You need a group of people who don't think you're mad when you say, hey, does this make sense to you? And we'll operate at that level. And you find that if you can get in that habit, your thinking raises 2 degrees. And things that you thought were solid and nothing will change become ephemeral and less important. Yeah. And you could argue that, you know, if you think learning today is only about performance support, a little bit of reflection will tell you that that is not true. It's important, but there are lots of other things that are important. Mm. And re-engaging with an organisation for learning and development, I think is something that every L&D department should be doing. How do you recommit to your organisation? What will that entail? The only way you'll get there is with a bit of reflection and thought, and not just leap into, oh, we're giving more of this, they want that. And those organisations in the pandemic, those organisations who said, we know what they want, they can have a bit of this, were the ones who came most unstuck. The ones who stopped, thought, listened, digested, discussed, came up with tentative ideas, threw them out there, got them discussed, and then made their decisions. That can be a quick process, doesn't need to be a slow process. They're the ones who really endured. They did good stuff. So I'm basically saying, I think those at a professional level in an organization who think that I'm talking nonsense should think again, which sounds very arrogant, but it's not meant to be. What do you think, Martin?
I think you've said a lot there, and I've really enjoyed listening and learning from you, actually, about reflection and the different types and where it's come from. I think the only thing I would say is that we talk about research a lot, and I really like the idea of holding up a mirror to one's practice and what the organisation is doing. And I think that can involve seeking out, you know, the right data and the evidence to be able to reflect on that evidence. You know, and I think that's I think that's what you're talking about. I think it enables us to be proactive in looking for things that we might not necessarily look for in the day-to-day activities and routines that we have.
Exactly.
But actually, if you were to say how successful is learning in this organization, let's go and hold a mirror up to ourselves as a function. What data do we need to establish, you know, whether are there industry benchmarks, are there other internal data points that we could bring in? What would that look like? And when we've got that data, can we sit down as a team and go, well, you know, what do we learn from this? And what does this mean for now and into the future? That's what I take it to mean as well. So I thought it was, there's a lot in it. And I think the idea of us talking about reflection after having talked about thinking in the previous episode is really useful, because I think we're saying it's really, there's a great opportunity here to rethink things. And I know we've been saying that for a while, but there really is. And I think, you know, thinking more deeply and reflecting more deeply will get us to a better place.
Martin, we should leave on that end. I think that is profoundly true. And this is the age of reflection, above all. We've got to work this out. And I don't think anyone particularly has got the answers. I think there are bits of answers around, but there's certainly no one has got the answers. And that is just admitting that fact, I really don't know everything, would be very good for a lot of people in a lot of positions, in a lot of organisations. Yes, so a humble inquiry. And Edgar Schein wrote a book called Humble Inquiry. I kind of like that phrase, humble inquiry. That's what we need to do, be humble inquirers and reflectors. Thank you, Martin. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
That's great, Nigel. Thank you.
From scratch.